in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. My, y'all, I have preached four commandments. And I don't know if it's done you any good or not. I hope it has. But I have preached some weighty things to you out of the commands of the Lord. How to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. I told you how to do it. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, the Lord said. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. You shall not bow down to it. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God. And the Lord was plenty jealous this past Sunday. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For you to take the Lord's name upon yourself and then dishonor that name, the Lord will not hold him guiltless. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it how? Holy. A holy day. A day given to God. Now, if you have gone through all of that and it hadn't affected you, and you have just let it be like water off of a duck's back, I want to tell you, you're going to be in trouble when you stand before God. For this, my brother, is the essence of spiritual life, knowing God, loving God, enjoying God, and obeying Him. That is the essence of eternal life. Now, this commandment that I'm talking to you about tonight is, again, a very weighty commandment. Very weighty. Very needy in the hour that we live in. A commandment that's ignored by our modern generation. In fact, denied by this modern generation. And we see it broken constantly. This is the first commandment of the second table. The table that deals with loving thy neighbor as thyself. Thy first neighbor is your parents. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's Exodus 20 and 12. This is just a repetition of that law here in Deuteronomy 5:16. The fifth commandment is one of two commandments that deal directly with the family. The other is the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. This commandment, the fifth commandment, is designed to protect the relationship between parents and children. The seventh commandment is designed to protect the relationship between husband and wife. So two commandments given that deal directly with the family. This commandment, the fifth commandment, is designed to promote a healthy relationship between parents and children. A healthy relationship within that home, between parents and children. And that healthy relationship is a relationship rooted in divine love. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Start in your home. Start in your family. Love thy neighbor as thyself. So this relationship between parents, this proper relationship, this healthy relationship, is a relationship rooted in divine love. Parents love their children, and children love their parents. That is a healthy relationship. Now there is a certain character of a parent's love. I'm talking now not just about natural parental love, but I'm talking about the kind of love that God intends for every family to be governed by. He intends for every family to be governed by divine love. The kind of love that brought Jesus out of heaven and put him on a cross. The kind of love that we read about in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the kind of love I'm talking to you about. That's the kind of love that God intended should govern the relationships within a family between parents and children. Here's the character of a parent's love for their children. It makes provision for dependent children. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 5:8, if a man does not provide for his own, he is worse than an infidel, denied the faith, and he is worse than an infidel. So a parent that loves their children will make provision for those dependent children. See to it that they are fed and clothed and that their needs are met when children are dependent upon parents. The love of God in us constrains us to meet the needs of those children, even at the sacrifice of our own wants and wishes. Secondly, a parent's love makes preparation for the independence of those children. It makes provision for dependent children, and it makes preparation for the independence of those children. So we try to develop in those children the ability to make wise decisions. You know, children sometimes are dependent on their parents to make all their decisions, right up into adulthood and beyond, into adulthood. Can't seem to make decisions for themselves, but we are to develop in those children the ability to make decisions for themselves so that we don't have to make their decisions all their life. And sometimes parents deliberately make their children dependent upon them all of their life, make their decisions for them, and make them dependent upon them all of their life. God don't intend for that to be true. He wants your children to grow up, assume responsibility, make wise decisions, and we are to train them to grow up and make wise decisions. Now, one way they're going to learn that is if they see us make wise decisions. And if they don't see us making wise decisions, they learn how to make decisions by the kind of decisions they see in us. We're preparing them for independence, so we develop a sense of responsibility in them. Responsibility for discipline, getting out of the bed, being on time, being neat, making up their bed, picking up their clothes, hanging up their clothes. We teach them neatness. We teach them promptness. We teach them excellence in their life. It isn't appropriate for us to train up children that are not going to be disciplined after they leave home, and they're going to have problems in their family because they're not disciplined. They haven't been trained to be neat and to be, to have some self-respect. To promote excellence in their own life. To always be trying to improve their life. Boy, y'all looking at me tonight. Woo! I don't know if I ought to run or hide or what. But this is what we're supposed to be putting into our children. We do them a disservice if we don't do that. We are preparing them for independence, so we develop skills. We try to help them develop skills for their livelihood so that when they get out from under mom and daddy, then they have the skills or the education or whatever they need to take care of a family themselves. So, you know, it's son and daughter is not always running to daddy and mama and depending upon them to pay their bills. You know, I told my boys, I know, you know, Kara's got a husband. He takes care of her. But I told my boys, I said, look, now, you're going to be responsible for your family. And I want you to know right up front, I don't intend to support your family. I intend for you to support your family. It is your responsibility. You are to prepare, get you a job, take care of your own family. I'm going to tell you right up front, I am not intending to take care of your family. So this is what we have to do for our children. We have to teach them to develop skills for livelihood and to develop skills for harmonious relationships. Now, if your child, growing up, you don't never teach them how to get along with other people. So you just allow them to blow their top. You allow them to mope around all day long with a sour attitude. You allow develop these kind of relationships in the home. You know, we had some of that too when my children were growing up. And some attitudes develop, you know. And I just tell them, I'd say, look, we ain't having these attitudes around here. You are going to stop it right now, and because I said so. You know, people can get out of attitudes. They make a choice to get in them. They can make a choice to get out of them. And so I just let them know, hey, look, we ain't putting up with that around here. We ain't putting up with no attitude like that. You're not going to mope around here pouting. You're going to stop it and stop it right now. They'd stop it. Wonder of wonders, they'd stop it. And so you train them. You know, you don't want your children, after they get away from you, doing the same things in their home that they've been doing in yours. Pouting, fighting, quarreling, blowing their top, throwing things. No, we're not training children to act like that. In fact, if they're acting like that in your home, you better stop it and stop it right now. Don't let it go on. we're supposed to be Christian families, right? We're supposed to be acting like Christians. We're supposed to train our children to act like Christians. We're not supposed to allow our children, you know, I'm hearing about all kind of things going on in the homes of children raised in the house of God. It ought not to be so. They ought to know better. And we ought to develop skills for harmonious relationships. We're not only just preparing them to live, develop skills so that they can, you know, produce money for their family. But the love of God in us causes us to prepare them for spiritual life as well. Now, a person can have a natural love for their children and be satisfied if those children make a good living. If they don't embarrass mom and daddy, if they just, you know, are good citizens, if they belong to the fire department or work with the rescue squad or they have a good job, they're the banker, and everybody approves of them, and they do well. They live in a fine neighborhood, and they drive a fine car, and their children do well in school, and we think that this is the ultimate for our children. But not when the love of God is in us. When a parent loves their children, then they're going to prepare them not only for natural life, they're going to prepare them for spiritual life. So they're gonna put into that child all they can of the knowledge of God. They're gonna put into that child all they can, the knowledge of the Scriptures. They're gonna make sure that child knows the way of salvation. They're gonna try to instill in that child a love for the Word of God. And they're gonna instill in that child a faithfulness to the house of God, that nothing matters like the house of God. Now, this is the love of God in a parent. This is what the love of God in a parent causes that parent to do for that child. We're training them. The Bible says, train a child in the way what? They should go. And when they're old, They will not depart from it. So this is the kind of preparation that we are instilling. This is what the love of God does for us. The love of God governs the relationships in that home, and it causes that parent to prepare that child to live, prepare that child for spiritual life, prepare that child to make a living. So we do all of these things because we love our children. This is what's missing in good moral people, divine love. So they're content to see their children go to hell. Content for them to do good in life and go to hell and spend eternity in hell. The love of God says, hey, I can't do that. I cannot stand by and watch my children go to hell. Even if they're going to hell on a smooth road, I cannot stand by and watch my children go to hell. The love of God causes us to do our very best to keep our children out of hell and to help our children realize the importance of living their life for Jesus and not wasting their life in sin. It involves instruction. It involves discipline. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The love of God causes us to be willing to do whatever it takes to save our children, to teach them the ways of God. This is one aspect of a family that is functioning like God intended. The other side is the child's love for the parents. The parent's love for the child causes all of these things to be true. But the child's love for the parent, and this is what God intended, parents to love the children, children to love their parents. So if a child loves his parents, there will be obedience in that child toward his parents. As a minor, the Bible says, children, obey your parents, for this is right in the Lord. Children, obey your parents. If you any child that's a minor still under their parents, this is the one command that deals directly with your life. Children, obey your parents. And then a child that honors their parents and loves their parents will strive all of their life for the happiness of the parents. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 23, 24, and 25, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Children who love their parents seek to bring rejoicing to the hearts of their parents. When that parent loves that child, and that child loves that parent, you understand, the Bible says was it in 2 John that John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. This life of righteousness, this life of walking in the truth that brings joy to the heart of those parents who have sacrificed, who have taught, who have instructed in the ways of righteousness. You see, when they see those children walking in the ways of God, it brings joy, happiness to the heart of those parents. And this is what every godly child should do for every godly parent. And I know there are parents that wouldn't be happy if a child was walking in righteousness. We're not talking about that right now. Right now we're talking about the way God intends for it to be. We're talking about the way God intended for things to work. That the parents love the children and the children love the parents with divine love. And that takes an experience with God. Nobody has that without an experience with God. You've got to know God. You've got to have an experience with God, to have that kind of love in your heart. You won't care so much if your children go to hell. You won't care so much if your children live and dishonor God if you don't have the love of God in you. But when you have an experience with God and the love of God is in you, then these things really matter to you. And when your children have the love of God in you, then it matters to you about your parents. So you live a righteous life. You live a godly life to bring happiness and joy to the hearts of godly parents. Then not only do we obey them as a minor and live our life to bring happiness to our parents, but we also make provision for our parents. You understand that your parents made provision for you when you were dependent upon them? And now then, parents get old and they don't have means like they once did to take care of themselves. And it's up to the children who were once taken care of to now take care and make provision for parents. Now, God considers that to be important. Now, I know that there are certain instances, there are cases where medical means, medical problems and sickness and so forth may make it impossible for that to be so in your home. I know that's true. But at the same time, we bear responsibility to our parents and to make provision for them in their old age. And the Bible tells us that the Pharisees got around the law of God about honoring their father and mother by saying that whatever gift would have profited my parents, I pronounced Corban over it, which means I devote it to God, and therefore I don't have to support my parents. I don't have to help my parents because I've devoted it to God, Corban. And Jesus said concerning them, Matthew 15, he said, you have broken the commandments of God by your own traditions. You've taught the commandments of men and broken the commandments of God. You tried to get around the law of honoring your father and your mother. So this is what happens when a child loves their parents with divine love. Now, when love is lacking, when this divine love is lacking, y'all, I want to talk to you a little bit, if y'all will listen to me for just a little while. When this divine love is lacking, then children are neglected. The Bible says concerning Elijah, when he comes, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. It was said concerning John the Baptist, he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. When a man lacks divine love, his children are neglected. Proverbs 29 and 15 says, a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. A child must have attention. A child must be watched over. A child must be disciplined. A child must be taught. It takes time. It takes effort. And I want to tell you, ladies, it's more important to do that than to make money. It's more important to do that than for you to have your own car. It's more important for you to do that than it is for you to have your own bank account. Those children have to have time. They have to have discipline. They have to have teaching. They have to have instruction. And when the love of God is lacking, children are neglected. Secondly, children are abused. When the love of God is not in us, children are abused. That is brutality that goes on in families all around us. Sometimes families in the house of God, it's brutality. Now you know that I believe in the discipline of children. I believe in the rod. I believe in spanking. I believe in that. But I do believe that there is a line you can cross and it becomes brutality instead of discipline. And so, children, when the love of God is lacking, then you take your anger out on that child. You abuse that child. You strike that child in a fit of wrath and of anger. And that child knows that. And he senses that. And so when the love of God is lacking, there's brutality, there's sexual exploitation. And that happens all around us. You know, these sexual predators, One day I decided, you know, I think I got some grandchildren, and I just thought, well, I'll go online. I was worried about a particular situation. I thought, I'm going to go online, and I'm going to see if this particular person is on the sexual predator list. And I went down that list, and this particular person wasn't on that list, but there was a person on there I knew very well. And those kind of things are going on all around you. When the love of God is lacking, there is verbal abuse of that parent toward that child. So we scream at them, and we abuse them verbally, and we tell them they're ugly, and we tell them you're no good, and you're never going to amount to nothing. And we verbally abuse those children until they're subdued by that verbal abuse. And they begin to believe that they're not worth anything. And they begin to believe that they're not going to be worth anything and not going to be able to do anything. Because mom and daddy told them they were worth nothing. And mom and daddy told them that they were no good. And mom and daddy told them that they'd never be anything but mean and wind up in jail someday. This is when the love of God is lacking. Children not only abused, they're abandoned. Fathers often disappear when divorces happen, and children almost never see them again. Mothers find children a hindrance to their romantic flings. So they leave them with somebody else. Throw them off on grandparents so that they won't be hindered in their romantic flings by their children. Parents drop children off at grandparents to avoid financial obligation so they can support their drug habits and their drinking habits and their party habits, and children are abandoned. Millions of them across this country. This is when the love of God is not in us. This is what happens when the love of God is not governing us. Children are murdered. Abortion happens every day, hundreds of times, thousands of times in a year. Hundreds of thousands of times in a year in this country. Butchered, murdered. Infants that are born alive, killed by the doctors. There's one on trial right now. And I think it's in Pennsylvania. A doctor. They caught him. They caught up with him. Killing them. Killing the babies. I mean, after they're born. Killing them. Children are murdered. And this business of abortion being pro-choice, that is the worst name they could have come up with. That a mother would choose to kill her own child, it is the worst name they could have come up with to say this is pro-choice. Nobody made this mother kill her child. No law said she had to do it, but she chose to do that. It's the worst name they could have come up with. When the love of God is not in us, children are deprived of spiritual guidance. Or they're given faulty spiritual guidance. Just token spiritual guidance. When there's no love of God in us. We're content, you know, maybe just to let the Sunday school take care of it. Or let the preacher do it. And so we won't give any attention or time to it because it makes too much demands on us. And we've got other things we want to do and other places we want to go. And these children are, here they are, eternal souls. And we're going to take them to church every Sunday. We're going to let the Sunday school and let the preacher try to get them to heaven while we neglect their souls. Or, you know, we just want to make sure they know who Jesus is. And John 3:16 says, and and be content to just have a form of religion and denying the power thereof and hope our children will catch some way or another, catch on to eternal life? Do you realize what day you are living in? Do you realize the pressures that are on children to rebel? Do you understand the powers of hell that are coming against your family? Do you not know? Do you not realize that there is such temptations in this world that if a child gets to heaven, it'll be a miracle? And are we content just to be careless about this? These precious souls that had no choice whatsoever about coming into this world, we brought them into this world. And are we going to be careless about the souls, these eternal souls that's going to spend eternity somewhere? I'm telling you, brother, God help us to be concerned enough about these children that we'll pour our life into this, trying to save the souls of our children. Children deprived, when the love of God is not governing our lives, we deprive our children of spiritual guidance. And when the love of God is not in the children like it should be, then children become bitter toward their parents. Bitterness develops, especially if there's something missing in the way the parents treat the children. Now, I want you to understand something. I want all your children to understand something. There are no perfect parents. There aren't any. Yours aren't. Mine weren't. I'm not. I wasn't. Fact is, I've just been convicted some about my preaching right here tonight. Sometimes it happens, you understand. But children, if the love of God does not govern us, we will become bitter toward our parents. And you'd be surprised what little things often promote bitterness in the hearts of children. Now, sometimes it's major things. But sometimes the devil can just use little things. You know, children raised in the same family. And one child says, my parents were such godly people, praying people. They loved us. They provided for us. They were wonderful parents. And a child from the same family saying, but my parents didn't take me to the beach, and they didn't take me here, and they didn't take me there. And they're bitter against their parents because my parents didn't live up to my expectations. And the devil slips in bitterness in people's hearts and messes their whole life up. Sometimes over frivolous things. When the love of God is not governing us, children rebel against parental authority. And we're living in a rebellious age. Brother, the 1960s changed this country. The 1960s with the hippie rebellion, the 1970s, the 1980s, of that time period I lived through, I saw some of the things that went on in that time period. Changed this country. Changed the attitude of people. Changed the attitude, the atmosphere of homes. Promoted a spirit of rebellion that's still being carried on right now. Ruining families, causing divorces, ruining children. It's corrupted our families, corrupted our churches, corrupted our government. All across this land, we're living with the consequences of that rebellion. There is a spirit of rebellion. The Bible tells us that in the last days, there'd be perilous times, and children would be disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, right? Last days. Rebel against parental authority. The love of God, when the love of God's not governing us, children reject spiritual advice. Parents try to give them spiritual advice. Advice from the Word of God. But they won't hear it. They're not going to have it. They're going to do their own thing. Children insult, embarrass their parents. when the love of God is not governing us. The Bible says, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. When the love of God is not governing children, they abandon their parents. Sometimes parents abandon children, but sometimes children abandon parents. Walk away and never come back. Don't call. Don't go see them. Don't have any interest in them. Oscar Wilde said, children begin by loving their parents. After time, they judge them. Rarely, if ever, do they forgive them. When we're talking about this commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, we're talking about a relationship that God says, I want that relationship to be strong. I want that relationship to be healthy. I want that relationship to be lasting. I want that relationship to be a relationship that aids the spiritual development, that leads to eternal life. I want that relationship to be a relationship that honors and glorifies God. And the only way it can be so, brother and sister, is if the love of God governs that relationship. That's the only way it can be true, is if the love of God governs that relationship. So, just like we have to have the love of God when we are dealing with God, loving Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thus keeping the first four commandments, it takes the love of God to keep this one as well. We have to love with the love of God. Parents have to love their children. Children have to love their parents. Now, I know that things go wrong. I know that there are no perfect homes. I know that there are no perfect families. I know that every parent in here has failed at some time. Now, you may not believe you have, but you have failed at some time. You haven't done everything just right. And I haven't either. But I'm glad the Lord is merciful. I'm glad He's forgiving. And I'm glad He gives us the love of God in our heart that causes us to want to do right by our children and causes us to repent when we haven't done right and make corrections along the way, because we want our children to be saved and we want them to be honorable in their dealings with their fellow man. We want them to be honorable in the way they live their lives. We want our children, if they're going to have a companion, we want them to get married. If they're going to have children, we want them to get married first. We want our children to live an honorable life. We want them to live according to the Word of God. We don't want our children, listen, your children, take your name with them, and however they live is going to be a reflection on you and on me as parents. And so, it's very critical that we teach them that. I'm telling you, brother, it's important to teach them that. That there is something riding on your name. The honor of your mother and your father is riding on your name. The honor of the God that loved you, that made you, that redeemed you. The honor of God. You're responsible for the honor of your parents. You're responsible for the honor of God. Brother, it's something that we have to consider and teach them to consider in their life. You know, I'm telling you, this life ain't just about having a big time. It ain't just about pleasing myself. It ain't just about having my way. If you are going to live life right, you're going to live it by the love of God. You're going to live it constrained by the love of God, disciplined by the love of God, motivated by the love of God, governed by the love of God, in the relationships in your family. That is where it has got to start. Now, don't tell me that I love God And all anybody ever sees of you is at church, you're so holy and so humble, and then get in your house and you're just a devil in your home. Don't come here making no pretensions. Get right with God. Get right with God. And if you can't live it in your home, you just ain't got it. That's just all there is to it. If you can't live it in your home, you just ain't got it. Because it's going to work wherever you are. And it's going to start right in your home. Now, let me tell you this, and we're going to pray. If you try to live this without praying, you're going to fail. If you try to do this on your own strength, you're not going to make it. The only way you could do it, children, the only way you can relate to your parents right is through the love of God. And mamas and dads, the only way you can relate to your children right is through the love of God. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to study your Bible. Let God correct you. Let God speak to you. Let God have His way in your lives. You know, I've preached a long time, many, many years, pastored a lot of people over the years. I've seen a lot of young people make shipwreck of their life because they didn't believe what I'm telling tonight. And there's some of you that you have the possibility in your life to do wonderfully good things for God if you will obey Him and keep His commandments. But if you don't, you may think that it looks good to go that route, to rebel against God's commands. You may think it looks good and it looks right, but you're going to wind up shipwrecked down the road. The sorrows of sin are going to seek you out, and you're going to find your life wrecked by the sin and the devil if you don't yield your heart and your life to the Lord. Now, God's going to write these commands on the table of your heart if you'll let Him. And it'll guide your life. Hallelujah. Someday, you'll be glad, I submitted to God. I submitted to His will. I submitted to His commands. Now, I'm sure there's conviction in this house tonight. Maybe even anger, but I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to hear what I have said tonight, because it is from the Lord. It is the Word of God. I want you to hear it. Even if you're mad at me, I want you to hear what I said. Don't forget it. Take it home with you. We're going to pee this through. And we're going to live this, because this is the Word of God. We're going to live this. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. There may be some of you that need to make some corrections. Some of you parents, some of you children. There may be some of you that need to do some repenting. There may be some of you that need to go ask forgiveness of your children or of your parents. And whatever God speaks to you to do, do it. Whatever He says, do it. Don't hesitate to obey God. Don't hesitate to obey God. God is wooing us by His Word and wants us to fulfill His commands and please Him above everything. Come on, let's pray. Come on, let's ask the Lord to help us, that our lives will be governed by the love of God in our families.